Oh God, we're live.
We're just trying to change the world here, people.
Oh, really?
The Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
So it's amazing that you do that as an insult.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else?
Yeah, absolutely, because I can't
think either got to be true or not.
I can't, no.
Good evening, fine people of Internetlandia. This is O'Reilly Radio Show 85, the Fear and Loathing in Washington, D.C. edition.
Why, hello there.
Friday, November 20th, 2015, where we dismantle the current events for your edutainment through monthly rational conversations that make you go, oh, really? I'm your host, Andy Cowan, with my usual suspects, Michael Robinson, Ophelia Falls, and returning regular David O'Connor from the Great White North.
Complete. Wing Gappa.
Holy crap, he's back.
Complete
I'm
with beer.
Back.
We met 5 minutes ago. Hello again.
Hello, person. Let's do this.
David, what have you been up to since last you were on the show? I mean, obviously you didn't just abandon us. We did not have a giant Hollywood falling out or anything. You know, there was no like horse head under the sheets or anything like that.
No, I was actually on a kind of a weird work shift. You okay, Mike?
I dropped a pen. It landed on my toe. It hurt. I'm good.
All right.
How big was that?
Yeah, I'm on a 24-hour service desk. So I was actually doing Wednesday to Saturday shift from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Central Time. So I was leaving work around 9 p.m. Oh, and the last thing I wanted to do after 10 hours of staring at a monitor was stare at another monitor and talk to people.
I can understand that. I can understand that. But welcome back. Now you
Thank
two
you.
Can vent with us.
And, I can vent with you.
And I think we're going to have to do quite a bit of venting.
Oh, my God. What is this week done?
Well, we were dark last week because with the news of all the terrorism that happened in Paris, I was in no state to actually discuss anything because I would have constantly just been checking news sources and trying to figure things out, and it would have been an absolute mess. So instead, it was just, okay, I'm going to maintain radio silence for a little while and just absorb and try to figure it out. And you know what? I honestly don't feel that I'm any better prepared because it's just still,
but at least,
it's still a mess.
At least some facts have actually aggregated.
Yeah, we do know some things now.
Yeah, it's not just, you know, constantly hearing this may or may not be true, this may or may not be true. So
right,
we've got that going for us.
Yeah.
So there's at least some security in that. But still, it's still greatly disturbing. Far too many people died. Though we could say that almost any day of the week lately, especially this last week. Boko Haram was highly active in Africa, as well as ISIS, ISIL, Daesh, whatever we're going to call them now. I've heard mixed reviews actually on that whole Daesh thing, in that it, in Arabic, it's just the equivalent of ISIL as being an acronym, and they really don't care.
But, see, I've seen a few things where they do care.
Yeah.
I'm also not going to call them ISIS on account of the religious implications of that.
I think the, you know, quite aside from the fact that it is the name of an Egyptian goddess of healing, it is – ISIS is the name they use on their broadcast. They put that name onto all their broadcasts. So we should not use it just to give them the finger.
Well, there's that, but there's also the pointedness of it. Being that this is who you are, we want to be clear that this is who we're talking about. You know, so just in clarity, I would try to call them that, though they keep changing their name as well.
Well,
the name keeps changing.
The issue is that those that are actually like fanatic in their religion are not comfortable with being called ISIS because of the, you know, the pagan kind of connotation.
Yeah, they're not big on the Egyptian goddess. Yeah,
the I mean, like, the proper whatever name would be the ISIL, ISIL, however you say it.
Yeah.
I will prefer to call them the Daesh because it sounds a lot like an Arabic insult.
It sounds like it, but I just don't know that it is. Though I keep seeing it pop up more regularly. So if you're confused by social media posts out there, or even just news sources that are now referring to this strange organization by DAESH, that's who we're talking about. It would be the terrorist organization formerly known as ISIL, I guess. Maybe we can just give them a symbol, just a weird, unpronounceable letter. You know,
they're the
terrorist group formerly known as
the terrorist group formerly known as ISIS or whatever
organization formerly known as ISIS.
Yeah,
ISIL.
I think that might work, you know, in this stupid way. And really, I can't take them seriously because of that. So maybe it is working out, just in a different kind of way. But that's not really the super disturbing part. Of course, there are all the refugees. There's refugees from Syria. There's refugees from Iraq. Any people that don't like this terrorist organization are trying to run away from them.
Yes.
Because, well, they like to kill, like, anything in their path that gets in their way and that they don't like.
Yeah.
You know, say one wrong word and your head's on a spit somewhere.
Basically, they're a totalitarian regime. And like any other totalitarian regime, if you speak out, you die.
Yeah, complete theocracy.
We've had these in Europe.
Yeah.
They've been around for a long time in many different forms. This is just another one.
Yeah, they kind of know what they're doing. They've had a long time to acclimate to the rules of the road, as it were. And, you know, that's all well and good. I am in favor of people fleeing such horrible things. However, they apparently don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants them. Because everyone's afraid that they're not actually refugees. That they're not people that are running scared, but they are the terrorists that they're actually running from. And they don't want them in their populace. Of course, there's also a lot of the Islamophobia and general bigotry that goes along with anybody that's not in your own little niche group.
Yeah.
Xenophobia at its brightest.
Yeah. It is rife with xenophobia. that's probably the best way to phrase it. It's just awful in every way, shape, and form. It doesn't make any sense. To rational people, it doesn't make any sense. Which is why now we can talk about how all of our governors in our fair United States have decided to react with... it's most of them now, wasn't it?
It is most of them that have surrendered to terror. They have given in to fear and said, we will not accept refugees because of the fear that they might be terrorists, which is a victory for the terrorists.
Yes. Yeah. First of all, y'all are a bunch of fucking cowards, and we don't need cowards in office. Second of all, they just won because – you decided to be little bitches. Third and most important of all, you can't fucking do that. You don't have the authority.
Ah, yes.
Read the fucking Constitution.
Mike's reading ahead in my notes.
I'm not even. I haven't even looked at the notes. This is just, no, you can't fucking do this.
It's true. It's true.
It is true.
Essentially, thanks to several laws that were put into place during the Bush administration, President Obama is the only one that actually has rights to really, and the State Department, of course, to figure out where refugees, how many to accept within a certain number, and where they're going to go. So,
and they will be spread out across the whole of the United States because no one place can take 10,000 of them.
Yeah,
that's not a doable thing. Now, it is also appropriate to say that France, even after this, their president has stated very publicly that they will be taking in 30,000 refugees.
Yeah.
So
much good on you, France, for what's that?
France has always been better at being America than America has been.
Well, wait. Our law system has been based on the French law system.
We do kind of owe them for existing, you know?
little bit. I would say in this instance in particular, France is better at showing us how to deal with terrorism than we are, which if you change your way of life or your decision making based on fear, that's the whole point of terrorism, which means it's working. Yep. So the best thing you could possibly do is make a bold statement like France has done that it is not, in fact, working. We're not afraid of you. And go piss up a tree.
Yeah. Now, there is a, since we're talking about the immigration thing, a immigration law guy, attorney, I guess. Yeah, that's the term, attorney. He posted something on Facebook that is very long and detailed on just how difficult it is to actually come in the country already. And
yeah.
Now they're wanting to clamp down on it even more and basically bind everybody to a unreasonable expectation of purity, I imagine. So I have a link out there. His name is Scott Hicks. And I'll just read as quickly as I can from it. Most of my friends know that I practice immigration law. As such, I have worked with refugee community for over 2 decades. This post is long, but if you want an actual information about the process, keep reading. I cannot tell you how frustrating it is to see the misinformation and outright lies that are being perpetuated about the refugee process and the Syrian refugees. So here's a bit of information from the real world of someone who actually works and deals with the issues. The refugee screening process is multi-layered and very difficult to get through. Most people languish in temporary camps for months to years while their story is evaluated and checked. First, you do not get to choose what country you might be resettled into. If you already have family legally in a country, that makes it more likely that you will go be there with your family, but other than that, it is random. So you cannot simply walk into a refugee camp, show a document, and say, I want to go to America. Instead, the UNHCR, the United Nations High Commissioner on Refugees, works with the local authorities to try to take care of basic needs. Once the person family is registered to receive basic necessities, they can be processed for resettlement. Many people are not interested in resettlement as they hope to return to their country and are hoping that the turmoil they fled will be resolved soon. In fact, most refugees in refugee events never resettle to a third country. Those that do want to resettle have to go through an extensive process. And I believe that's what most of our leaders here in the United States are fearful of. They think it's going to be like a streamlined process and just immediately they're going to be working at the local 7-Eleven. Resettlement to the U.S. is a long process and takes many steps. The Refugee Administration's program is jointly administered by the Bureau of Population, Refugees, and Migration, PRM. I did not even know that we had a Bureau of Population, Refugees, and Migration. It is in the Department of State and Office of Refugee Resettlement. Oh, there's another one. Office of Refugee Resettlement, ORR, in the Department of Health and Human Services. We have a lot of departments, people. And offices within the Department of Homeland Security, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, USCIS, and the Department of Homeland Security conducts refugee interviews and determines individual eligibility for refugee status in the United States. We evaluate refugees on a tiered system with 3 levels of priority. First priority are people who have suffered compelling persecution or for whom no other durable solution exists. These individuals are referred to the United States by the UNHCR, or they are identified by the U.S. Embassy or a non-government organization. Second priority are groups of special concern to the United States. The Department of State determines these groups with input from the USCIS, UNHCR, and designated non-government organizations, NGOs. At present, we prioritize certain persons from the former Soviet Union, Cuba, Democratic Republic of Congo, Iraq, Iran, Burma, and Bhutan. Third priority are relatives of refugees, parents, spouses, and unmarried children under 21, who are already settled in the United States, may be admitted as refugees. The U.S.-based relative must file an affidavit of relationship, an AOR, and must be processed by the Department of Homeland Security. Before being allowed to come in the United States, each refugee must undergo an extensive interview, screening, and security clearance process conducted by regional refugee coordinators and overseas resettlement support centers. My God. Individuals generally must not already be firmly resettled, a legal term of art that I'm giving little air quotes, that would be a separate article all in and of itself. Just because one falls into these three priorities above does not guarantee admission to the United States. The immigration laws require that the individuals prove that they have a well-founded fear, another legal term, which would be a book. This fear must be proved regardless of the person's country, circumstances, or classification in a priority category. It just goes on and on and on. So I'm going to just cut to the chase. Our show notes are easily read at our website at www.oreillyradio.com. This is show 85. You'll be able to find it. No problem. It's long, it's tedious, and it doesn't need to get more complicated because it's already a labyrinth.
It's already ridiculously complicated.
Yeah. I'm reading it, and it's like, I was having trouble just, like, filing to get money out of a program that I actually signed up for. This is ridiculous. I don't understand how anybody would want to go through this process.
Unless you absolutely had to.
Unless you absolutely had to. That's exactly right. So, it's ugly. Thank you, Mr. Scott Hicks, for detailing out in arduous length all that that information. Now, real quick, I'm going to play something and get a reaction. It is 3 minutes and 33 seconds of me not talking. So hopefully people like that. NBC News basically lumped together a whole string of all these topics. I wasn't expecting to get all of them in one. So thank you guys for doing that for me, because you just so succinctly put it that we'll just react to what you've said. So let's see. Here we go. It's an autoplay video, which is always, unfortunately, hit and miss.
And now to the fierce political debate going on over Syria. And now to the fierce political debate going on over Syrian refugees entering the United States, defying the president. The House on Thursday voted overwhelmingly to impose stringent new screening rules. While on the campaign trail, Donald Trump is under fire this morning after calling for the creation of a national database to register all Muslims living here in the U.S. NBC national correspondent Peter Alexander is covering the political piece of this morning. Peter, good morning.
Hi, Savannah. Americans clearly have real fears after the Paris attacks. Doesn't matter which party you belong to. But on the topic of Syrian refugees, it is Republicans on the campaign trail have really gone on the offensive with some of the toughest language yet.
In the fight over Syrian refugees, more fear-mongering and heated rhetoric.
We can't take them. We can't take them.
Donald Trump cheered on by supporters in Iowa Thursday night, telling NBC News he'd support a government database to track Muslims living in this country.
There should be a lot of systems beyond database. I mean, we should have a lot of systems.
I would certainly implement that. Absolutely.
Later, Trump ignored a follow-up question.
Mr. Trump, why would Muslim databases not be the same thing as requiring Jews to register in Nazi Germany?
Who are you with?
I'm with NBC News. Is there a difference between requiring Muslims to register and Jews?
You tell me. You tell me.
In Alabama, while calling for tough screening, Ben Carson compared some refugees to mad dogs.
If there's a rabid dog running around your neighborhood, you're probably not going to assume something good about that dog, and you're probably going to put your children out of the way.
Criticized for those remarks, Carson criticized reporters.
So what does the news media do?
Carson says the Syrians are like rabid dogs.
And the bill is passed.
On Capitol Hill, 47 House Democrats joined Republicans, defying the president's veto threat, passing a bill that would effectively shut the door on refugees coming to the U.S. from Syria and Iraq, setting an almost impossible bar requiring the nation's top three security officials at the FBI, Homeland Security, and National Intelligence personally certify that each refugee is not a threat before they're allowed in.
It's a security test.
not a religious test.
On its Instagram page, the White House blasted out images of desperate young refugees. Unveiling her aggressive strategy to defeat ISIS, Hillary Clinton attacked the uproar.
That is just not who we are. We are better.
And new this morning, the results from the latest NBC News SurveyMonkey online poll. They were taken after the Paris attacks. Here's what they are. Among Republicans, Trump remains firmly in the lead. He's at 28%. But you can see Ben Carson, he had the biggest drop, falling into a tie for second, now at 18% with Senator Ted Cruz. Cruz grabbing some of Carson's evangelical support. Marco Rubio at 11%. Jeb Bush, you see, well behind. On the Democratic side, it's Hillary Clinton still holding the lead, just shy of 50%. But note this, Bernie Sanders posted his highest level of support in our polls yet at 33%. Savannah, Willie.
All right, Peter.
So that was thanks to NBC for putting together pretty much everything else that I wanted to talk about in the headlines here.
One fell swoop, they covered it all.
Just, yeah, one after the other.
Well, they're all intrinsically linked.
Exactly, yeah. So after all the things that Trump has said, horrible things, he is gaining more support.
Oh, yeah.
I made a new card for this.
Oh, dear. What is your card?
We have a new card.
I'm going to call it the obvious card.
Ooh, obvious card. Trump equals Nazi.
I mean, this is not a surprise to anyone because his parents were Nazis, like documented Nazis. You know, and then KKK members when they got here. So it's not a surprise that he's acting exactly like them.
Were they actual Nazis or just like selling them everything?
Well, I know that they were documented bigots. It may have been KKK, but I'm pretty sure they were Nazis.
I don't want to cast that aspersion.
Nothing about Trump's parents. So that would be interesting news.
But regardless of where he comes from, his actions are telling in of themselves. He is talking like Hitler. He went full Hitler for us, you know?
Yes, Godwin's law.
He has introduced Godwin's law into the political spectrum, finally.
I don't know. You tell me.
You tell me.
Yes, it's an awful lot like it, sir. Do you not see the similarity? Did you not pay any attention at all in world history?
You had tutors.
Didn't you listen to your parents?
Right? Well, like, okay. I was watching NBC actually today, and I saw this happen with the Trump thing, and the look on his face, like he was going to break out into a giggle. He was like, like, and the you tell me definitely with the way that he looked, his physical demeanor was an utterly sarcastic thing.
Well, he was also, just to be slightly fair, he was also signing things that people were putting in front of him, and he said, oh, that's nice, and things like that. So he was not really paying that much attention to the NBC representative.
Well, he stopped because he thought the guy was just a heckler.
Right.
And he was like, who are you? And he was like, I'm from NBC News. And he repeated his question. Mm-hmm. And Trump was like, this bitch, whatever.
Something like that.
Yeah, that's basically how it went.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this all really tracks. There was an interesting article, I'll have to unearth it. And it was basically studying the differences in the way people with right-leaning tendencies think and people with left-leaning tendencies think. And they discovered with the right-wingers, they respond to fear. Their number one priority is security and motherland and that sort of thing. So this type of pandering really goes right into their brain. And, you know, it's shocking to see when you don't think in that, in those terms and in those ways. But not unexpected based on what we know from the human psyche.
Statistically.
So what we're saying is that what it boils down to is that here in the land, the home of the brave, these people are fucking cowards. That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Well, I mean, we're talking about, if you look at all the different terrorist attacks, and they are terrible, but the loss of life per country is around 110 or so.
The loss of life,
averaging out all the individual attacks, we kill 11,000 people a year in firearm homicides. We had a dude walk into a school and smoke 20 children. I mean,
yeah, and nobody did.
Such a part of our culture. What, you're really afraid of these guys opening fire? I mean, that's just like Tuesday in America.
Yeah, I mean, it was my birthday, Sandy Hook. Let me tell you something.
Well, people, by their very nature, are very bad at statistics. Math is one thing, but statistics, people do not have a head for naturally. You know, it's been proven time and time again. You know, one person's death.
Need to fucking educate themselves.
Yeah, but one person's death is a tragedy. 1,000 people is a statistic.
Yeah.
You know it. It's something that our brains can't even adequately
so
wrap.
The numbers are so large; it's hard to wrap your head around. 11,000 people died. Oh my god!
Yeah.
And then, oh man.
Yes, but a fucking kindergartner knows that one number is bigger than the other.
Yes.
And if one number is bigger than the other, then that's obviously worse. You fucking morons.
Well, it's a matter of learned affect them. Helplessness. You know what I mean? The way I see it is, or the way I have observed it, rather, is that these people, these fear mongers, when it comes to what's already happening, they are in a state of denial because it might apply to them. And they feel helpless when it's something that's already here. Yeah. And when it's something that is not already here or has the potential to be here with more fervor, then they're like, well, we're not going to take this standing down because self-reflection does not exist when they feel trapped in their own society.
Yeah, I would definitely go with that. Now, I would like to say hello to Explosia.
Hello, Explosia.
Explosia out there in the chat room.
Welcome to our chat.
Who are you?
And we've got a couple people out there that are watching us live. I imagine that Explosia is one of them. Otherwise, she would have no business.
My friend Holly. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Holly.
Hello.
Welcome to the program. And you're going to be in a treat because, I'm going to go ahead and play the opening diatribe from one of my favorite shows, The Scathing Atheist. This is show 144. It's his most recent one based on this one. And Noah, every show, he has a brief diatribe where he just...
It's usually like a minute long.
Yeah, this one is 13 minutes and 44 seconds. So, this is where we're just kind of going to mute and let him take it away. You will find a link to his show in the show notes, or you could go out to scathingatheist.com, and it's show 144, the latest one, if you're listening to this in any kind of current kind of time frame. Okay, and here we go.
But first, an unusually long diatribe.
I don't want to talk about dead people in France again. You know, I already talked about it once this year, and that was the hardest diatribe I ever had to do. But it's more than that, of course. I mean, I don't want to be yet another voice standing atop 129 corpses to say, hey, you know that thing that I am ideologically committed to, that thing that I've been saying for years? Well, that's the real issue behind these Paris attacks. You know, there's just too many people already doing that. And even if I'm right, I don't want to play King of the Mountain with them. I want to talk about happy, funny shit we can all laugh at, like the latest adventures of Fat Guy in a Red Hat instead. But ultimately, it's my job to talk about this. And that's tricky because no matter what I say, I'm going to fill up my inbox with plenty of people who disagree with me. See, this is one of those situations where the truth lands between two ideologies, so you can theoretically piss everybody off with one single opinion. Western imperialism and predatory foreign policy is a major factor in the growth and power of ISIS, and so is the fact that the Islamic faith is incredibly fucked up even compared to other faiths, and it makes no sense to examine one of these factors in isolation from the other. So let me just concede three things up front. First of all, all religions are bad and all religions are capable of inspiring violence. You know, some people love to point out that this religion or that religion is the exception, but the one thing that all those religions have in common is the fact that they're not the majority religion anywhere in the world, and they never have been. Hell, Christianity didn't inspire violence until it had power. So yes, Islam is not unique in its ability to inspire believers to violent action. I will freely admit that. But it would be a huge fucking coincidence if all the religions were equally able to inspire violence with the same ease, wouldn't it? I mean, wouldn't it stand to reason that one major world religion must necessarily be at the top of that category? So yes, you can use Buddhism to inspire violence. It's been done. It's being done right now. But there are more steps between the generally accepted Buddhist doctrine and a violent one than there are in Islam. If you want to turn a docile, nonviolent population of Buddhists into ethnic cleansers, there are more steps along the way than there are with Muslims. Now, in practice, that only matters in the short term. Yeah, I mean, once you traverse all those steps, you don't have to do it anew with every generation, because future generations are just going to grow up in a world where their cultural understanding of Buddhism always included ethnic cleansing. So the two relevant factors in the overall violence of a religion are A, how violent the scripture or existing doctrine is, and B, what percentage of that religion's followers currently endorse a violent interpretation of those doctrines. And in both categories, Islam leads the way. But don't start writing your angry emails yet, because I'm not done conceding points to you yet. Let me also concede that the overwhelming majority of Muslims do not support ISIS or terrorism in general. I don't want to be too exculpatory, because the average Muslim does support some shit that should and would make a secular person shudder, but it would also be insane to argue that Islam necessarily leads to violence, or that the majority of Muslims interpret it in a violent way. You know, this is so nonsensical of a concession, because I don't know anyone in the atheist movement that would argue with me on that point, but I feel the need to make it anyway. You know, the only people who argue that the Islamic religion is necessarily violent are the Christian bigots that figure anybody worshiping the wrong Jesus has to be a savage. But since so many people have invested so much effort in reducing Sam Harris's very nuanced view on the subject to the moral equivalent of blacks like to shoot people with guns, I feel the need to point that out regardless of its complete lack of support in the atheist movement. And finally, let me concede that there are strategic reasons, both domestically and geopolitically, to avoid throwing all of Islam under the bus in light of an Islamic terrorist attack. You know, I don't know that they're sufficient reasons, but they are definitely reasons. In the wake of a terrorist attack like this, there's an increase in hate crime against Muslims and folks who look like Muslims, and no responsible person wants to add to that. And of course, one doesn't want to reinforce the view abroad that the West is at war with Islam. I mean, I think both of these reasons are radically overplayed in the media, but they are legitimate concerns. I mean, you know, whatever increase we see in American hate crime in the wake of this thing's probably going to pale in comparison to the next ISIS terrorist attack, wouldn't you think? And as to the international view that we're at war with Islam, well, look, if you're saying that massive numbers of Muslims are one Obama quote away from joining ISIS, then you can't at the same time say that Islam isn't uniquely positioned to inspire grotesque violence, can you? Because even after conceding all of that, the efforts by the American government and media to absolve religion in general, and Islam in particular, from any blame at all for this is dangerously misguided, not to mention bigoted. That's right, bigoted. It is bigoted to say that Islam isn't responsible for the violent rise of ISIS. Ignoring the reasons that these people themselves are giving to justify their actions and replacing them with your own liberal values, that is a clear example of the exact kind of cultural bigotry that you're trying to avoid. I mean, of course, there are other factors involved, and I don't know of anyone who's arguing that there aren't. But to then ignore the clear and obvious religious motivation that is the single uniting factor among the entire fucking group is just your own Eurocentric prejudice telling you that all cultures ultimately share your values. Because look, not everybody who joins up with ISIS agrees on this political goal or that geographic target, but they all believe in the strict implementation of Sharia law and the religious obligation to defend and expand the caliphate. That is an unavoidable fact. And yet I could point to dozens of articles and reports over the last week that try to explain the real motivations behind ISIS. And wouldn't you know it, they're just like us, darn it. They just want better jobs and economic opportunity. Hell, I saw one article that snuck good schools for their children into a list of things the terrorists are really after. Excuse me, are you fucking high? You really think Boko Haram is after better schools? You think ISIS is after better jobs? How culturally insensitive do you have to be to say, well, I know they say it's religious stuff every time we talk to them, but what do they know? You know, I know they behave in a way that's consistent with a religious motivation, but they only think they're after the 72 versions and the glory of Allah. They're really after the shit that I care about, the shit that I understand. Look, if you wanted to argue that Al-Qaeda wasn't really Islamic, you might have had an argument to make. You know, it wouldn't exactly exonerate the people who left something as dangerous as religion lying around for terrorist groups to play with. And I don't know that I'd ultimately believe you, but you could probably make a halfway convincing argument that Al-Qaeda is a geopolitical goal disguising itself as a religious entity to fill its quota of foot soldiers. But if anything, ISIS is a religious goal disguising itself as a geopolitical entity. This is an apocalyptic death cult whose actions are exactly in line with a literal reading of the Quran and the Hadith. The most disturbing shit they do, enslaving women and children, crucifying people in the streets, destroying irreplaceable antiquities, the truly barbaric shit that they're doing, that comes directly from their religious doctrine. And look, that's to be expected. Of all the major world religions, theirs is the only one that was founded by a conqueror. You know, if Julius Caesar or Genghis Khan started their own religions, those would be some fucked up religions. They'd be filled with barbaric shit about enslaving your captives and breaking all their nice shit and everything. Look, Muhammad told his followers to make sex slaves out of conquered women. He told his followers to publicly execute people in campaigns of terror. He told them to expand the borders of the Islamic nation. And again, yes, plenty of Muslims don't take those parts seriously, but anybody who elevates the rape children and crucify people book and says, hey, this is the perfect word of God, should take some responsibility when people actually take them seriously, shouldn't they? Is it really a stretch to blame the pyramid for the height of the capstone? And yet when you stand up and say, hey, you know what, even for a religion, this one is fucked up, you're shouted down as a racist. You're inundated with history lessons about colonialism and war profiteering. You're derided for not being equally or outraged about every single loss of human life in the world. You're buried under violent crime statistics from Indonesia. You're reminded of every act of Christian or secular terrorism that your interlocutor can think of. And even when you point out that none of that shit addresses the question of whether or not the Islamic religion is fucked up even for a religion, you're written off as a bigot and an ideologue incapable of rational thought. Look, religion is a device for reinforcing tribalism. That is religion's primary function. That's what it was evolved to do. That's what it does first and foremost. And one of the downsides of tribalism is that it tends to evoke violence against people outside of the tribe. So how can we exonerate the tribe and the tool that reinforces it when this inevitable consequence takes place? I mean, sure, if you blame Muslims for Islamic terrorism, but you don't blame Christians for Christian terrorism, yes, you're applying a double standard. But I hope you know that I wouldn't shy away for a second from putting the blame on fucking Jesus if this was a bunch of suicide bombers for Christendom. And what's more, neither would most of the people who are going to send me angry emails about this fucking diatribe. Most of the atheists that were posting memes about how few Muslims are terrorists wouldn't hesitate for a second to point the finger at Christianity if we swapped out the religions. In fact, I have never once gotten an email from an angry listener pointing out what a small percentage of Catholic priests were involved in the sex abuse cover-up. Somehow they all understand that even the people who weren't directly involved were still culpable simply because of the support they gave and continue to give to the institution that perpetrated it, and yet they want a different standard when it comes to this other religion. Now look, again, any religion could be turned into this. You know, you give Christianity a few impoverished generations, and I have no doubt whatsoever that violent uprisings would start and they'd use Christianity as their recruiting tool the same way that Muslims have used Islam. And if you can imagine a Christian terrorist state built upon a literal reading of the Bible, it's probably every bit as terrifying as ISIS. They wouldn't crucify people probably, but they'd be stoning gays and disobedient women. They'd be murdering people for adultery. They'd be executing people for atheism. The society they would create might be equally terrifying, just in different ways. But just because other religions could be used in this way doesn't mean we should overlook the fact that this one is being used in this way. And the way we talk about this informs the way we think about this, which informs the way we act about this. Obama's repeated bullshit assertions that the Islamic State is not Islamic are insane and damaging. What's more, some Christian son of a Muslim, which makes him an apostate in their eyes, lecturing Muslims about what is and isn't Islamic, that's probably no more endearing to the international Muslim community than admitting the truth would be. After all, anyone familiar with the Quran has to know that the shit ISIS is doing is in there. I mean, most of them interpret it a different way, sure, but it's like arguing with Fred Phelps. You can interpret it a different way if you want, but according to the Bible, God does hate fags, and anybody who says, yeah, that's just not in the Bible, they're not going to make a very convincing argument if they're talking to somebody who's read the fucking thing. And right now, some people are asking, hey, Noah, why does this even matter? You know, I've actually gotten emails and shit asking, why does it matter if we call this Islamic extremism instead of just extremism? These people would never ask why being truthful would matter in some other circumstance, but for some reason, now all of a sudden, I've got to justify specificity. A fucking course it matters. How can you solve a problem if you're ignoring a large part of it? It's like we tell the theists, how can you answer a question honestly if one of the answers is forbidden? Look, I'm sympathetic to the urge to counter the prevailing bigotry, and we should be doing that. You know, I'm seeing the same stories you are about planes being diverted because a brown person was using a cell phone, but we should be countering it rationally and truthfully. The asshats who are saying we should close down all the mosques and stop taking in Syrian refugees and kill more people definitely need to be countered vociferously and unflinchingly, but they need to be countered with fact, not obfuscation. They need to be countered with realistic admissions of where the guilt lies and propositions based on that, starkly and unflinchingly considering all the factors and then presenting an answer other than kill all the people with the wrong Jesus. Because if we're not honest here, aren't we just conceding the conversation to the bigots? I mean, look, people are scared and they're looking to their leaders for answers. And if their leaders are standing further from the truth than the bigots, then they're going to hire bigots to lead them. You know, if one guy is saying, no, this isn't Islamic and Islamism has nothing to do with it, the real problem is that we're just not being nice enough to the Middle Eastern countries. And the other guy is saying, yes, the Islamic State is Islamic and we're going to deal with it by closing down all the mosques and only allowing in Christian refugees. Where does the average person fall? If nobody's being honest with them, are they going to go with the guy who has the solution wrong or the guy who has the problem wrong? But there's more to it than that, because look, if we're assigning blame, I think every religious person has at least some of this Parisian blood on their hands. Religions are like landmines waiting for a charismatic psychopath to just lead a group of followers across. So the real culprit is anybody who lobbies to leave the landmines laying around, right? Anybody who defends the landmine because it's always been there and it's pretty and people write nice songs about it. Anybody who lobbies for laws that give it a special privileged place in our society. Anybody who defends the notion that faith is a virtue. They're all liable to varying degrees. And if we want to assign tiers, hey, I'd say that Christian extremists are more blameworthy than Muslim moderates. But that does absolutely nothing to exonerate the Muslim faith. Look, whether you like it or not, and whether you admit it or not, we are at war with a very particular interpretation of Islam. And by we, I mean those of us who share secular values, those of us who believe in gender equality and democracy and religious freedom and separation of church and state and science and education. There is a well-armed group of people that do not share those values and have declared war on our way of life. Just because George Bush said it doesn't make it untrue. And remember, it only takes one side to declare a war. And again, obviously, we're not at war with the religion as a whole, but the fundamentalists couldn't thrive unless millions of people were primed for them with claims that this disgustingly violent book is the perfect, unquestionable word of God. And all the people who are trying to pretend that this is a conventional war, or that we can overlook the Islamic part and still win the fight, or that we're not at war at all, are engaged in a unilateral disarmament of reason.
And that was the longest diatribe that the Scathing Atheist has ever put out.
That is the thing. I don't agree with all of it.
I don't
agree with most of it.
I don't expect that you would, because it's from a very particular point of view.
He's making, I would say that his assumption that the problem is primarily religion and secondarily other things is flawed. We have been interfering, arming that the reason why they have armaments is because of the Cold War.
Okay. Yes.
So that, now, hang, I mean, now, hang the, on, the hang war on. Fighting capabilities that they've got, which they are using and bringing to bear against Western civilization, was put there by Western civilization.
And this is not the first time that Western civilization has done this. We've done it all over the fucking place in Africa. We've done it all over the fucking place just in general.
But this is the only place
that we have armed that is attacking us, and it's because we won't fucking leave.
Oh, well, hold up. Hold up. Now, there's no denying that we have meddled in the affairs of dragons.
We have
stepped in doo-doo all over the world, and we have left our mark and our weapons all over the place because, well, we're litter bugs that way.
We
do that a lot.
This is active.
Yeah. Now,
we're still doing this today.
But it is also unfair to simply say that that is the only reason.
I'm not saying that's the only reason.
I'd say that's the primary reason. If you look at the region,
hang on.
Okay,
I have.
Of course, they reject our religion in favor of another.
Hold on, I have a funny.
Okay,
a man named Fazil Said Al Mutar wrote something on his Facebook that is like a Monty Python sketch. And it's kind of like the argument clinic. So there's a Westerner, and then there's a member of ISIS. So let's see. My friend Joseph from the United States wrote this in full on my wall after hearing a discussion with Dave Rubin, and he gave me a full permission and copyright without attribution. The Westerner. It must be incredibly frustrating as an Islamic terrorist not to have your views and motives taken seriously by the societies you terrorize, even after you've explicitly and repeatedly stated them. Even worse, those on the regressive left in their endless capacity for masochism and self-loathing have attempted to shift blame inwardly on themselves, denying the terrorists even of the satisfaction of claiming responsibility. Then the Islamist, the terrorist... We did this because our holy text exhort us to do it. No, you didn't, said the Westerner. Wait, what? No, yes, we did. No, this has nothing to do with religion. You guys are just using religion as a front for social and geopolitical reasons. What? Did you even read our official statement? We give explicit Quranic justification. This is jihad, a holy crusade against pagans, blasphemers, and disbelievers. No, this is definitely not a Muslim thing. You guys are not true Muslims. And you defame a great religion by saying so. Huh? Who are you to tell us we're not true Muslims? Islam is literally at the core of everything we do. And we have implemented the truest, most literal and honest interpretation of its founding text. It is our very reason for being. Nope. We created you. We install the social and economic system that alienates and disenfranchises you. And that's why you did this. We're sorry. What? Why are you apologizing? We just slaughtered you mercilessly in the streets. We target unwitting civilians. Disenfranchisement doesn't even enter into it. Listen, it's our fault. We don't blame you for feeling unwelcome and lashing out. Seriously, stop taking credit for this. We worked really hard to pull this off, and we're not going to let you take this away from us. No. We nourished your extremism. We accept full blame. Oh my God, how many people do we have to kill around here to finally get our message across? That is the end. Michael?
We're smoking people daily with drones.
Yes, we are. Michael, you have your hand raised.
Here's the fucking problem with that bullshit.
Okay.
It's not that we... The West are saying they're not Muslims. It's not that I, as a blaspheming heretic apostate Christian, am saying that they're not Muslims. It's that fucking Muslims are saying they're not Muslim when the majority of people of the faith you claim to extol say, no, we don't want anything to fucking do with you. Then guess what? Your own people have judged you unworthy. You have been cast out by the people who you are actually a part of. So fuck you. They're not Muslims. And I'm not saying that because of my judgment. I'm saying that because of actual Muslims' judgment. So that bullshit right there gets all thrown out the fucking window. We did cause this problem. We armed them and we irritated them. They have taken
– We did arm them.
The fuel
we did irritate
for,
them.
They have taken the fuel they had available for their fire and now are doing horrible things with it. They are still to blame for that. They are still raging douchebags who are going to burn in the deepest, hottest pits of hell. But we need to take credit for our part in it, for arming them and for provoking them. That does not change the fact that they are evil and we should slaughter them all, because you can't rehabilitate a person who thinks like this. The only way to stop them is to kill them. But this absolute fucking bullshit coming out of the secular community that it's not – that it is a religious thing. That it doesn't matter what we say, they're still Islamic. That's fucking garbage.
But
and the
it's
reason
not.
It's fucking garbage, and the reason that the secular community can't make that judgment is because you are not religious. Because you do not understand what it takes to think like a religious person. You don't understand that psychology. So you are making the exact same bullshit judgment about religion that you claim that the rest of the world is making about Islam. You don't understand how they think. So you don't get to make that fucking call.
Yes, many of them do because they were religious. They fell from faith and became
– This is where I'm going to fight you on
this. Fuck that.
I'm going to fight you. I'm going to fight you on this,
Andy. How many people were raised Christian or raised Islamic or raised Jewish and became an atheist?
Okay, but
can you really discount
that? People were also raised in those environments and still changed their belief systems, but still have faith. Okay, there is a fundamental difference mm-hmm. between a person who will have faith and a person who will reject their faith. There is a fundamental disconnect in psychology there. You
Andy,
do not think like I do. Just because you were raised in a Christian environment does not mean that as an adult you think like I do.
I was
as the halfway between guy, can I interject something?
Let me go first, please.
Go for it.
First thing, Michael, were you not already married? I would be proposing to you now for your rage. Secondly, Andy, I'm going to fight you on this. I'm going to fight the guy who put that on this, because here's the deal. Mm-hmm. One, not all religions are Abrahamic. And this guy's war on religion in general is based on his bitterness towards the Abrahamic foundation in which he was clearly exposed to. Secondly, God does not hate fags. The things that he was saying as far as quoting the Bible or quoting the Quran uh-huh. are factually incorrect, because they are fractured bits. Because there is no Christian who is Christian and no Muslim who is Muslim that should be taking the Old Testament seriously. Furthermore, these three sects of Abrahamism, Judaism, Islam, Christianity, mm-hmm. all have, at least on some level, a head of their religion as a whole that is fueled by the community in which they are bought to. I am going to go ahead and say, like, let's take the Pope. Pope changes all the time. Pope is elected. The Catholic Church, mm-hmm. which is the grandfather of all Christianity as an organized religion, mm-hmm. is constantly changing its policies regardless. So you cannot ever say that everyone who follows the word of the Pope is going to be wrong all the fucking time, because they've had popes for 2,000 motherfucking years. Next thing, when it comes to Judaism, there are four main sects of Judaism, and each of them have a leader or a group of leaders that votes on what is outdated and no good, and they will fight to the teeth against each other on these policies. So to say that people who read the Old Testament and follow whatever parts are within their religion are inherently wrong and inherently evil is ignorant bullshit born of not being educated. Then we will go to the Muslims.
Okay.
I know of three major Muslim sects. Three, the two you hear about in the news, and another one that's a lot more hippy-dippy, like Reformed Jews, only Muslim. And here's the deal with them. It's to a fucking vote. The Shiites, the Sunnis, the other guys whose name I can never pronounce, it's up to a vote of their real leaders. And when it comes to extremism in any way, for each of these factions under the Abrahamic umbrella, none of them, 0% have ever, since after the Crusades, endorsed this kind of bullshit. Never. It is always the cults. It is the cults of Islam. It is the cults of Christianity. It is the cults of Judaism who do it. And to say that everyone who has faith has blood on their hands is to just want to say, as an atheist, that you don't want blood on your motherfucking hands. The blood is on everyone's hands, because we are human beings who allow each other to be armed and allow each other to put this shit together. So how dare anybody, atheist, agnostic, religious, Abrahamic, non-Abrahamic, say that everyone falls under this umbrella and everyone is ignoring the truth, when you are factually incorrect on the historical timeline of the very things in which you are trying to recruit against, which, by the way, in his little diatribe was really fucking hypocritical to be like, let's all band together against this shit, because that's exactly what the cultists do. Is wrong. Wrong done. I was so upset, I nearly signed off, because that was a disgusting manglement of what good secular values in the Western world are to be about, because he turned it into his own atheist jihad. So he can fuck himself, and anybody who has a problem with anything I just said, send me an email.
Yeah, this is the exact same. Okay. Just because it comes from this standpoint of quote unquote sarcastic air quotes pure reason, this is the exact same bullshit hateful psychology that he's claiming to rail against. It's the same. You know why it's the same? Because we're all human beings and we all have the same faults. And we all have the same psychologies. It's the same. It's the same tribalist us versus them shit that he explicitly stated was the problem. You are part of that same problem. Just because your tribe is based on something else doesn't mean it's not a fucking problem to think that way. You secular people are supposed to be better than that. It's like Nietzsche said, man is a rope tied between beast and overman. We are supposed to rise above these things. We are supposed to use rationality to understand and embrace our emotions, to use what is good and to suppress what is bad. Well, he's not suppressing what is bad. He is using the exact same psychology that all of these extremists are using. Everyone who doesn't think like me is evil. And I'm going to come up with any reason I can to convince you of that. There's no self-awareness here. I'm gonna let you finish,
but Beyonce was the best pop star of all time.
Oh, shut.
Okay.
But I want in. This is the thing.
I want in.
It's the same thing.
I've been very quiet. I want in. Okay. As basically the agnostic here, having some form of faith is more or less written into our DNA. Whether you file behind an Abrahamic religion, Buddhist, Christianity, whatever it is, or no religion whatsoever, you subscribe purely to reason, you're putting your faith behind something, right? So with that said, admitting that we're a huge part of the problem that exists in the Middle East is not taking away blame for what they have done. Okay. Mm-hmm. We created the situation that allowed for these cult leaders, like Ophelia said, to really flourish and thrive. They've got a region which has been bombed to fucking oblivion so many times, it's not even funny. How can you create schools or hospitals or roads in a situation that has been constant war? Because we keep pitting them against one another and arming both sides and making a boatload of money for ourselves. Yes, you're going to create a situation where there's low education. And when there's low education, there's a lot of impressionable people who are going to rally behind the nearest warlord. And that's going to be their security blanket of, this is my tribe, and this dude's going to protect me from the other bads who are going to come in here and rape and kill us all. And we're expanding our tribe, so we have to kill them because they're going to kill us. Because that's the situation that we have really promoted and allowed to flourish in that region for the sake of oil or for the sake of arms sales or whatever. Saying, you know, making that admission and saying, yeah, you know, we kind of did this. We set this situation up so that they would fail in this particular way, which is predictable. And now it's biting us in the ass, does not in any way absolve them and say, well, you shouldn't, you know, be murdering each other wholesale.
Well, I mean, and to go with what you're saying, by the way, hello, agnostic. I'm the pagan.
We have quite the panel, really.
When it comes to theological outlook.
Yeah.
I'm the pagan who used to be a Sunday school teacher. So
Reformed Catholic.
Yeah, I was raised Catholic. I went non-denominational. I taught me some Bible for 4 years. Woke up one day and was like, this God is pretend. So I'm where I'm at now. But you know what? I read fan fiction. People can read the Bible. I'm not going to be mad. So to go with what you said, though, this whole idea that saying we fucked up absolves them of what they're doing is not in any way true, because they are still people. And this whole setup that we've done, do you know what it is? It is gang violence on a global scale. Because yeah. This is what happens in ethnically segregated ghettos on the small scale all around the world. The difference is we have turned an entire culture into gang wars. Because I have a friend who I've known for quite some time who was actually part of the most recent civil war in the Arabian Peninsula. He's from Kuwait. And he was called by his grandfather to fight. And I grilled him one night, as one does when they're interested in, wow, you know, you didn't kill people when I saw you last, and you've killed a lot of people now. I need to know things. And on a small scale, what it comes down to is it's just gang violence, only we gave them military-grade weapons as opposed to whatever guns we can get from a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy. That's where our fault is. We brought this from knife fights in alleys to everything looks like a motherfucking parking lot, and now they've also got the same things that full militias have. There's no difference, and they're never going to stop pushing on us until they are eradicated. Hopefully, they can be eradicated from within. The issue is real Muslims are super fucking peaceful until they're pushed. And everybody in the influence of the ISIL who is predetermined, like
once you're born into a culture of violence, you're going to stay in that culture of violence.
When you're predispositioned to flying off the handle, before the good guys can tell you, wait, the bad guys pick you up, they bought you a sandwich, they got your mother a couch. That is the initiative of the evil.
That pretty much happens. Yeah. Yeah.
Is strike while the iron is hot.
The initiative of the evil. I like that terminology.
And
but I mean, it's really
people wait to be pushed. The issue is the people who would push back were recruited as children.
Yeah.
And that's on them. That's not on us. The fact that they have big boy weapons to do all this with, that's the thing that's on us. It does not absolve them of sins. And there is not a single motherfucking person who actually believes that.
That's not true, demonstrably. But there's also people like Donald Trump. So there are people that do believe these things. These are not necessarily outliers.
I mean people who should count as people who deserve to breathe.
Oh, those people.
Here's the problem. you can subscribe to this, and I can get everybody across this panel.
Okay.
Hearing this statement.
Okay, let's see. 99.9%
of the population of the world is really peaceful until they're pushed.
Yeah.
And then there's that 0.1%. That, you know, they're going to kill people no matter what.
No, I disagree. Because I don't think that's true. While I do believe that there is – that we have – and this is another fact that's demonstrably true, that we have a – there is some – deep inside us, there is some genetic predispositions towards not harming our fellow man. We know this because when you're shooting at people and you can see their face, you miss more. It's psychology. We don't actually want to kill people. There's a genetic block there. But at the same time, we are also still haven't evolved out of the tribal phase. It's all about competition for limited resources, and we identify with the people who look like us because they're in the same genetic group, and it all goes back to that. So, yes, we are violent. We are aggressive. I mean, you can see – I mean, politics is because of human aggression, and we're all like that. And the problem arises when people don't turn the mirror on themselves and say, hey, look, I'm falling for the exact same trap that I'm accusing my enemy of falling for. Because that is what fucking happens. None of us are free from aggressive behavior. None of us.
Well,
least of all me. I enjoy being a mean cuss. Well, I love it.
But I
know where it comes from.
Cognitive dissonance kicks in for a lot of people, and they say, it's justified when I do it.
Well, the cognitive dissonance is what makes these people in the ISIL think that they're right.
Yeah.
That's what makes everyone think that they're right.
And the fact is,
including
the mentality
secularists.
Including aggressive secularism. Here's the deal. Do you know who had a lot of the same fucking arguments that was in that little diatribe? on religion is the problem. We need to get rid of religion.
I can probably think of who you're going to say, but go ahead.
Stalin?
Yep, there it is.
Hitler?
Yep. Except no, Hitler was Hitler was a Catholic.
It goes all the way back to Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
Because they were in the Mongol Empire was an atheist society. They held to no religion. They didn't give a shit. Like most of the time, they just tore religions down because the Mongols saw the religion of the Chinese, because they were at war with the Chinese forever. Mm-hmm. They saw that as the enemy.
Well,
and then they tried to destroy the world for the sake of no God.
All religion is politics. That's
when we boil it down. Power. And if the person in power is violent, that society is violent. If the person in power is peaceful, that society is peaceful.
That is also a gross oversimplification.
Well,
since we're bringing up Hitler a lot, because we have our own homegrown Hitler here in Donald Trump, let's not forget the very large numbers in the Nazi Party who tried to tear down the Third Reich. Let's not forget Operation Valkyrie, which almost succeeded. Let's not forget that just because the guy at the top says something doesn't mean everyone below him is obeying him. It doesn't fucking work.
Well,
that
here,
way.
That's here in the United States,
work. That's how splinter cells work.
Here in the United States,
this whole war on this bullshit happens.
How many political parties do we have here in the United States?
We have dozens.
They all pretty much hate each other. And that's a gross oversimplification, because anytime you're talking about a group of people, you have to simplify it. We are all nuanced individuals made up of trillions of cells. We are very nuanced individuals.
But
we don't have time for that.
You start making these gross overgeneralizations, you obscure the true fact of the case.
Well, you have to look at it from a different perspective, and here's that other perspective. None of us is as dumb as all of us, right?
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you put people in groups, herd mentality sets in, and suddenly those gross oversimplifications, they fucking hold true, right? Yeah. The German soldiers were amazingly normal people. They were amazingly normal people.
Right?
They were shockingly normal. How could they kill 6 million people?
Hold on a second.
He can't hear you, Mike.
Mob mentalities work in small, in isolated, high-stress situations. When you want to talk about these Nazi soldiers, most of the Nazi soldiers who were just on the front lines were just soldiers on the front lines. Now, when you want to go into the people at Auschwitz, most of those fuckers were just as terrified as their commanders as the prisoners were. That's why they all fucking testified at the Nuremberg trials. Okay? This idea of mob mentality, yes, mob mentality does happen and does lead people to do bad things. But mob mentality wears off. And it wears off pretty fast. And people start realizing, no, I'm not comfortable with this.
It wears off.
It wears off once the leadership was taken down around them.
Then if that was true,
it wears off very fast
true,
after
then there would
out.
Be no internal revolutions.
How do you explain North Korea would ever succeed? That's on generation 3 of totalitarian regime.
Well, that's a necrosy. You know, it's, you know, they're worshiping a dead dictator. It's very that's a different one. But it is also.
But all of those people, they all feed into the system that they've created.
But it is not inherently in human nature to do that. They were broken down. The best thing that we can hope for the Middle East is that it turns into a bunch of quiet North Koreas of just people sitting up on their high horse being terrible and growling. When they go down to growling instead of biting, we will be better because North Korea went through so much shit, they ended up that way. They were Cold War shit, nearly landed them the way that we're dealing with the ISIL. Here's the deal, though. It's different. It's always different when you look at how long someone has been suffering. The Middle East has been suffering since Abrahamism became a thing, because people who weren't Abrahamists wanted to wipe them out before they even
counted Jerusalem. Because they wanted to plant their flag in the city. But you bring up North Korea, and this is an excellent point. Because this is a case that is in favor of this, you know, this brainwashing theory that you're essentially espousing, that people get brainwashed by their power structure. That is, we see that being a problem, that people jump onto bandwagons, but it's also, but that is a matter of, in a lot of cases, that's just a matter of not my problem syndrome, where people are just going about their daily lives and they just keep voting for the same people their parents voted for and all that nonsense. Mm-hmm. And that's what the age of the internet is trying to stop, is to try to get people to think for themselves. That's, we're not arguing that. What you're saying over here sure sounds to me like people can get brainwashed like that, and look at North Korea, and that's an example of it. No, that's fucking bullshit. North Korea spent millions and millions of dollars and killed millions and millions of people, and has put forth monumental efforts to make sure that everything in their country is completely locked down. They spend every second of every day brainwashing these people, and that's the only reason why it succeeds. And it doesn't even succeed 100% of the time. There are plenty of people trying to escape from North Korea. There are plenty of people who are making contact with other intelligence communities trying to bring down Korea from the inside. This shit happens because you can't 100% brainwash people. It doesn't work. We still have that streak of rugged individualism inside us that makes us want our own way, because humans don't like being told what to do.
But they're also definitely afraid of a power vacuum.
There are some that are simply followers. What
you get when you take down dear leader. And there's zero guarantees, absolutely zero guarantees, that what you get is better than what you have now.
Of course there isn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you still have to try.
And that's working out well with Syria.
But the problem is this idea that cutting the head from the body will make the body die. That doesn't work, because either it's going to be like a Hydra and another head is going to just pop up, or it's going to turn out that creature that you thought was one thing turns out it's just a nest of bees and they're all going to swarm you and sting you to death. No. You need total systemic change. And the only way we're going to get total systemic change in the Middle East is we either glass the thing, or the rest of the world just backs out entirely and lets them destroy themselves. We are not going to fix it.
I don't think that they would destroy themselves.
But we are not going to fix the problem by doing what we've already done.
Because our tax dollars go in large volumes.
The idea that we can go in there and do the same thing we've been doing for decades is stupid.
Stop. Thanks to Google Hangouts, neither one of you can hear when the other is talking. So you're talking over each other and nobody can talk. So that is just a little problem here. Michael, you were getting upset that David was not letting you in. It's because he couldn't hear you, because he hasn't been able to hear me either. So David, keep an eye on the video if you can, because we're trying to flag you down if at all possible. So this has definitely taken a slightly different turn, but I love that. I love that we have these grand flowing conversations, but I think we need just a little break. So here's one of our sponsors.
Are you annoyed by misinformation spreading like crazy, and you want to stop the flood of nonsense coming from all directions? Go to Wikipedia, as do all those millions out there. Did you know there's an edit button on all Wikipedia articles? Why don't you go and hit that button to start making the world's largest online encyclopedia a more reliable source of information? If you're specifically interested in skeptical topics, come and join us at Guerrilla Skepticism on Wikipedia, an international endeavor to change the world for the better, word by word. There are many ways you can contribute. You just need to start. You speak several languages? All the more reason to join us. We provide training and all the help you need. If you want to make a change, there's a nice community waiting for you out there. Contact us at gsowteam@gmail.com, visit our website, that's gorillaskeptics.com, or check out the Guerrilla Skepticism on Wikipedia Facebook page.
Hello, O'Reilly Radio listeners. This is Daniel from the Country Fried Freethought Podcast with your O'Reilly Radio Logical Fallacy of the Week. This week's logical fallacy is the composition or division fallacy, in which you assume that one part of something has to be applied to all or other parts of it, or that the whole must apply to its parts. Often, when something is true for part of it, it does also apply to the whole, or vice versa, but the crucial difference is whether there exists good evidence to show that this is the case. Because we observe consistency in things, our thinking can become biased so that we presume consistency to exist where it does not. For example, Daniel was a precocious child and had a liking for logic. He reasoned that atoms are invisible, and that he was made of atoms, and therefore invisible too. Unfortunately, despite his thinky skills, he lost the game of hide-and-go-seek. That's it for this week. Be sure to check us out at countryfriedfreethought.com.
Hi, O'Reilly Radio listeners. This is your host, Andy Cowan, calling my voicemail to make sure that it still works. Please consider calling us, 470-222-6759. Bye.
And now the rest of the show.
I still love you, Mike.
That's right. That's right. At the end of the day, you know, we can all disagree.
We're all bros here.
We can all well, bros and chicas. We can all.
I'm non-binary. I can be a bro.
Non-binary?
Ophelia
excellent.
Is my bro.
Excellent. We are all bros.
We're all bros here.
We're all bros here. Since this is also the Transgender Day of Remembrance, so I wanted to be sensitive to pronouns because it does matter. So.
My pronoun is Your Highness.
Oh, is okay, that it? Right. I don't know if I'm that sensitive, honestly. You know,
I'm not that insensitive.
No, you know that I'm not that sensitive.
Yeah.
I give zero shits. Tell me what you want me to call you.
Ophelia works.
There you go. Right. Okay. That works. That's non-binary enough because it's just a name. So.
It's just a literary reference. Boom.
Yes, exactly. Now, we do have a little bit of good news, you know, and honestly, we've been through so much bad news. I don't think I'm going to go really into the bad and the ugly on this segment, because basically that's just the entire freaking show. But Jordan's King Abdullah, name that I cannot completely pronounce. He has called upon Muslims to lead the fight against terrorism. So there is... That's a good news, especially given that one of those lovely research charts for where the most terrorists are coming out of, I think the number one country happened to be Jordan.
That was for ISIL terrorists, yeah.
Yeah, so good on you. Try to self-police that place if you can. That would be that'd be very helpful. And speaking of policing, our friends. Our excellent friends at Anonymous have decided to take on anything that they can do with ISIS and ISIL and Daesh and everything.
I've got so many feelings for this. I was waiting.
I have so many feelings for Anonymous.
God. Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead.
My feelings remain obscure.
Within 24 hours after ISIS called them idiots, they took down 5,500 of their accounts on Twitter and various social media. So, and it's just been escalating from there. They're
also
not happy.
Giving out addresses to the local governments.
Yeah. Now,
that's glorious.
They've asked local law enforcement to stay out of their way.
Yep.
In progressing and pursuing their foe.
Here's the deal. Anonymous, you are listening because you are everywhere.
Yeah.
I love you.
Anonymous is always listening.
That's why I say
love you.
You are.
Thank you for what you do.
Friends at Anonymous.
I am not cool enough nor capable enough to join your ranks. However, I love you. Because you have finally answered who watches the Watchmen, and the answer is a bunch of fucking people around the world in Guy Fawkes masks, and fuck you if you think that you're going to get away with bullshit. My next official request, Anonymous, who is listening, handle Putin. I don't care how you handle Putin. Handle Putin.
I'd rather them handle Trump first, but
But oh no, I don't think he's on the immediate risk list, because now that he's getting more Hitler-y, I think people are like, okay.
Here's hoping.
Because here's the deal: when you see all of those polls on what Republicans like, 32% of Republicans like him. That was the number.
Mm, yeah.
Republicans make up something like 30%. So if everybody who was indifferent on the not 30-something percent could say, fuck that Trump guy, we're in good shape. Because remember, everyone.
Trump equals Nazi.
Now, back to the anonymous thing that I just tangented off of, because they inspire me with such love. They are doing something that is unprecedented since the frickin' French Revolution. They are hiding in plain sight. They are using their powers for good. They are giving warnings that shit is going to hit the fan, which is something that governments don't do unless they're actually never going to do something. Every time that someone has bothered to call the bluff of Anonymous, they've just sped up their plans.
They get wrecked. Yeah.
And I, for one, welcome our hoodie-wearing overlords.
A report out of Reuters. Islamic State militants are reportedly moving to the dark web as a way to protect their identities and content after hundreds of websites and Twitter accounts were taken down by hacktivists in the wake of last week's Paris attacks. After last Friday's terrorist attacks in Paris left at least 130 people dead, the hacker group Anonymous launched Operation Paris, hashtag OP Paris, to fight the Islamic State IS, formerly ISIL, formerly ISIS, in cyberspace, with the hacktivists calling their biggest campaign to date. It appears to be an escalation of the group's Op ISIS campaign, which was launched in January after jihadists opened fire at the Paris offices of Charlie Hebdo. The loosely affiliated hacktivist network claims to have taken down roughly 6,000 Islamic State Twitter accounts since the tragedy occurred. Anonymous tweeted, "We will not stop until there is a total blackout for ISIS online. All of your sites, info, media accounts now belong to us." And then another one. Hashtag Tango Down by GhostSec, recruitment site, nshr.me, permanently offline, Op ISIS, Op Paris, Anonymous. So, apparently they're trying to use the dark web.
Yeah, you can't hide web. There.
I love that they're trying to hide from Anonymous in the dark web. It's like, you adopted the darkness. They were born to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mary, how it said, will you walk into my parlors to the spider to the fly? Because, we've got to stop using the regular internet. Let's go into the dark internet. And all of Anonymous is like, yes, the dark internet.
Come closer. Yeah. Come closer. What big teeth you have, dark web?
Like, I may not have faith in much, really. I don't have faith in the global government. I don't have faith in the religious. I no longer have faith in the secular. But do you know what I have faith in? Anonymous. Because Anonymous is
everything. I have
everything.
Faith in nerds with some to prove and a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah. I have faith in the fact that they are all of these groups and none of these groups. And they just kind of come together and are like, you know what? Some of this bullshit is out of the universe's hands. Chaotic good for the win.
Let's go, Rex.
Anonymous apparently also released a how to hack guide for noob beginners who want to fight ISIS online. So I dare say that it's probably easier to join Anonymous than it might be to join ISIS at this point.
Right?
It's easier to join Anonymous than it is to become a refugee in the United States.
Absolutely.
That's for damn sure.
Than to emigrate anywhere, yeah.
There was a related to all this madness, actually, there's a tweet that is circulating. There's a tweet that is circulating. I'm trying to find. I know what the quote is.
I have an interesting one. After endless demonization of encryption, police find Paris attackers coordinated via unencrypted SMS.
Just text messages.
Just text messages.
Like you do.
Yeah. You know, like a norm.
Because, you know, they're just shitty people. This one is a tweeter named Matthew Iglesias. For those of you who are on the Twitter, it is at MattyGlesias. And he had tweeted, striking how little impact the fact that the Paris attackers were neither Syrian nor refugees is having on the Syrian refugee debate.
Right.
And like, that has been the platform, more or less, that Anonymous is using.
Yeah.
You want to say something? You want to say something about these people who need help? You don't want to help people who need help? We're going to give you time to help people who need help by getting rid of the bad guys. Go shoo shoo, little police officers. Do your job. We're here for a bigger thing.
Now, there's something about, you know, you're in my world now with technology. So there's something very important that I would like any politician that happens to be listening to this, because who knows, maybe. Don't bother trying to put back doors in security. Because math works. It's already out there. The encryption keys have left the building. People know how to do it, therefore it will be done. You must now simply do better. You can't break it, because people won't let you. You know, it's math. It's not a gun. It's math. You're not going to defeat it.
Speaking of math, let's not forget that most of the math that we use now was invented by Islam.
Algebra, yes. It does sound rather...
It's basic algebra.
Yeah.
Do you know what invented basic algebra? The Moors. Do you know what the Moors were? Black Muslims who spoke Spanish. Ooh, everything the
I like your description.
Yeah.
I just
very Shakespearean, Ophelia.
I try my best. I mean, I haven't been able to use the race card in a while.
There it is. She pulled it out. There it is.
Everything has been about Christian privilege lately, but but I do try my best.
You need a flip book. Yeah, just
I just want a Rolodex. Like,
you just need a Rolodex with a handle. So
nice. Nice. Just flip. Okay.
If you've never watched the video, dear listeners,
right.
I have index cards.
She has visual aids.
Here's generic privilege. It's flavor. The devil's on part.
Nice. Yes. I recognize that I speak from a privileged position, which is why I try to let other people talk. So carry on.
I forgive you.
But let's see. So, speaking of Russia and Putin, ISIS isn't apparently on his favored list either, as 350...
He was such a badass. He is an evil man, but he was cool for a couple of hours.
He's got his moments, I will definitely say. But many Bond villains do have their moments. So, The Bear awakens 355 ISIS targets destroyed by Russian Air Force in the last 48 hours. This was reported 21 hours ago by Russia Insider. Things may be, I'm not sure of actual numbers, but I'm sure that we will, that will be determined by the State Department at some point.
Well, France went whole hog on them too, right after the Paris bombings and attack. And this could really be a unifying thing for the world that doesn't like ISIS, but has basically been like, it's over there, whatever.
Well, you know, even in World War II, the United States didn't jump in until Pearl Harbor was attacked.
Yeah.
That was our problem.
So it's like, oh, well, now you've done
since,
it. Now
since
you did
you
it.
Sucker punched us, let us wind up a nice right hook for you.
Yeah. And, hey, you know, we've got these experimental bombs. Yeah, let's try those.
Oh, my God. That is the single most annoying piece of bullshit right-wing rhetoric that has come out of this whole mess.
Which part?
Carry on, yeah. Most annoying... You have to be a little more specific.
Have you seen the meme about the bomb? No.
I have not seen the
there
meme.
There is a thing going around about. There is a thing going around about the bomb. I will have to find it.
You find that.
Oh my god!
You find that. And
I am going right now.
And then you need to.
I know exactly where to find it because I follow my racist bigoted relatives, so I know what the other side is saying.
Ouch! Well, yeah.
I have friends like that too. But I suppose that's sometimes they block me.
I got rid of them. I only had to get rid of one person during the racist purge of October, and I do every year until this year, since Facebook was invented, because I was part of the beta program. I have to get rid of 5-10 people for wearing racist costumes or defending racism in the spirit of Halloween and how it's okay to be racist during Halloween. And this year,
okay, I got it.
I have
I got it for you
things.
Guys.
I had no racist friends left.
Share out your screen, Mike.
I got it. I'm going to try to get the image so I can just send you guys the image, but I will also read it out.
Well, no, do a screen share.
Share screen. Let's see.
Do a screen share so that our folks that are on the YouTubes can actually see.
Let's see if I can figure out how to do this. I am not the best at these internets.
You can do the thing. Send it to Andy and make him do the thing.
You can do the thing.
Yeah, I'm not.
I have the faith in you.
Not sure how to use this.
Oh, thing. Also, this is going to be a four-person podcast for a while. Maybe. I made a card.
We are all bros. No, it says there is a great image of the Trinity test explosion in full color.
And it says
Japan has been at peace with the USA since September 2, 1945. It's time we made peace with Islam. Really?
There's your screen share.
Are you fucking real? Quite possibly the most atrocious thing that America has ever done, unleashing the nuclear bomb on the world. I'm not even going to get into whether or not it was necessary or whether or not it was justified. It doesn't matter. It was still atrocious. We nuked some people.
We nuked a lot of people.
And they want to do it again. I have repeatedly said that one of the only ways we're going to solve this problem is if we glass the Middle East. I'm not saying we should do it because I don't think anyone deserves to be nuked. I've seen what happens to people who live through that.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bad thing. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's the biggest piece of bullshit rhetoric that has come out of this. The second biggest was something that my racist relative said, who I had to go look into this and make sure this wasn't just them being morons, that this was actually a thing. No, it's actually a thing.
Oh dear.
That the right is all pissed off because France's response was immediately to go bomb targets, and America's wasn't. And they're all pissed off at us because Obama's doing nothing. That's, you know, that's their common line.
Yeah,
is Obama's
been bombing
anything.
Targets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I had this article all ready for it. I was just like, oh, I'll just leave this here. And it's, you know, the attacks from the Obama administration that the right doesn't want you to know about, you know?
This is an interesting topic of conversation.
We've launched over 6,000 attacks.
We do it a lot. No, this is a really interesting leg of conversation because our chat room is popping and I happen to know that Disposable worked in bombs and stuff in the military. So this is the thing that he knows about. That's why he keeps making bomb jokes.
You gotta make jokes or else it's just too sad. Because bombs.
Oh, yep. Bombs. Yes, Disposable says, we were doing it already. They're late to the party bitching about the good beer is gone. That's all it is. Yeah, it's we didn't need to create another bombing raid because basically there was already one scheduled.
Nothing stopped. There was on the schedule. Yeah. It had it's nothing like, to do with Paris. It was already there.
We got another one in 15 minutes. Just get on the bus. Let's go.
Yeah, no. The only thing different is Paris really stepped it up. That was the only thing that was different. And it wouldn't have been right for us to overshadow them in any form during that period of time because it was the kind of their national, you slap us, we slap you.
Well, people forget because of you know, how they were swamped at the end of World War II. Mm-hmm. But there's one thing that France historically is real good at, and that's killing people who fuck with France.
Yeah.
And the ISIL
Napoleon, who kicked Europe's ass until he decided to invade Russia in the winter. I mean,
like, it's a thing. France has been, this is like the longest time since the Franks were a people that France hasn't bombed something or shot people, because it's what the French do. They make awesome shoes. They make desserts made entirely out of sweets.
They love the fucking wine.
Those desserts are made out of sex.
They drink wine and they shoot things. And the ISIL was like, I'm a bomb me of France. And everyone's sad because France is, you know, pretty. And it's been there a while. And they've been pretty nice. And then France was like, did you forget what we're really about? Oh, you.
Now,
silly ISIL.
We've
had a world-famous conqueror from this country. You forget.
I would like to remind folks also of the French Foreign Legion.
Yeah. Who is
the most badass military force in history?
Yeah,
they're badass and they're entirely multicultural.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Oh my god, the
Foreign Legion. Multicultural.
Well, yeah. I remember like being upset last week, and you know, and I was out and about doing other things, and like I go to lay down, and I thought to myself, oh man, they fucked with France. I want to feel sorry for the bad guys. Because you don't fuck with France.
You know, I would like to point out that your guinea pig sounds a little bit like a klaxon alarm.
And just you a said, little bit.
Oh no, they
His
fucked
dad
with
just
France.
Walked in and he demands hey tribute.
No, it's the oh no, they fucked with France and there's a klaxon alarm behind you. And it's like what rack, rack,
rack. With France.
Running, yeah.
Okay, that's pretty true of most of the like old empires of Europe, like Britain doesn't put up with no shit. You know, like Britain doesn't put up with no shit. France doesn't put up with no shit. Spain doesn't put up with no shit. Italy doesn't put up with no shit. Germany definitely don't put up with no shit.
This is why Europe is still made of different countries.
Yeah.
Well, like the thing is, like European history goes like this up until the 20th century, and then they fucked with France. And then the sequel to that is. And then they went to Russia in November.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, okay, you've made two mistakes here. Land war in Asia in winter. That's your other problem.
Like, it's just...
And you never leave like, in a battle of wits with a Sicilian when death is on the line.
Like, it's just like this whole thing, like, the right was like, something has to be done. These terrorists need to be dealt with. It has been a week, and France has killed all of the bad guys that survived. France is like, France has caught everyone. They had them long enough to figure out where they were and weren't from. And it took France a week. And it takes America like a decade. Oh my God.
Well, we figured out 9/11 right away, but that was all kind of pushed under the table for a different play.
Yeah, there's the technicalities of...
Hey, all of these guys are from Saudi Arabia. Let's go to Iraq.
Yeah, I got to fight my dad's war.
Yeah,
my dad didn't do so good. I got to beat my dad.
I will avenge you, father. It's all pretty terrible.
Suddenly, in my head, George W. is just like an anime character. That's all I see now. I will avenge you, father.
He is spending his retirement painting cats. He's an anime character.
That is something an anime character would do. There should be a manga.
You know, like he was a lame duck warlord.
Who's to say those pets aren't manga?
And now, he paints cats, y'all.
Yeah.
They could be manga cats.
I
hope so.
I know that we have certainly not solved any of the world's problems tonight, but we've certainly highlighted many of them and probably discovered a few more, like in our own personal religious preferences, which will keep the show interesting and tense for years to come if we keep doing this, which I certainly
define interesting.
Well, interesting does cover a multitude of sins.
It's like how something isn't ha-ha funny, but it's, oh my God, don't tell my mom funny.
Yeah. Something kind of like that. Yeah, that'll do it. So I think that we can probably start to wrap it up because I think we've definitely had enough of global politics.
You should always wrap it up before you begin.
Well,
that
escalated quickly.
That got out of hand fast.
Straight to
actually, you know,
stay back on the job. Straight to
actually, there is speaking of wrapping it up and safe sex and things like that. The Republicans did dip into a reserve monetary fund to launch yet another investigation on Planned Parenthood.
I'm convinced that
yeah,
they own stock in some investigation company.
Oh, that'll come out after the next election. You know it.
Sure. Yeah.
Like,
and then they'll try to pretend it never happened.
We need a ninth Benghazi investigation because eight's just not shaping up the way we want. We need a 10.
No. They're afraid of even numbers. It can't be an even number.
The definition of insanity does not apply to Benghazi.
It certainly doesn't.
Also, speaking on safe sex.
Yeah.
In the current events things.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Sheen
has closed his
HIV status, and his girlfriend, who he only recently broke up with, was like, "I've been with him since he was infected, and he didn't tell me."
That's like a felony, isn't it?
Well, she only if she came up positive. She is HIV negative, but this leads into he was not having safe sex with anybody but her, and he just waited until he was single and no longer culturally relevant to join the fight against a horrible plague upon this planet.
It's because he was out of the spotlight for 2 seconds and he couldn't stand it.
Wait, this guy's still blue, right? Banging a lot of anonymous hookers is going to have consequences?
I mean, not for his career.
No, obviously.
That's just weird.
He's been amazingly bulletproof over the course
except
of the decades.
Except for the AIDS part.
Yeah, but see,
I mean,
the thing is,
AIDS is nowhere near the death sentence.
If you have money, which he does,
he's gonna
for
live.
Now.
Magic Johnson's still alive, and he got AIDS way before there was really good treatments for it.
Wait, what was that about Magic?
Magic Johnson has been cured, and he has not had a single showing of the HIV antibody in his body for a while, but whatever treatment that he paid a lot of money for had an NDA, so he can't disclose other than I threw money at it and it went away.
Yeah, so if you have it is proof that if you do have enough money, you can make things like incurable diseases go away.
Yeah, no, my point about Magic Johnson was that he got AIDS way before there were really good treatments for it.
Yeah.
And he's managed to stay alive way longer than most people who got it around the same time he did.
I've lost 3 family members to not being as rich as Magic Johnson.
Pretty much what it boils down to.
That is it, isn't it? Yeah. It's like, why did they die? Because they weren't rich.
And so
they were
that
HIV positive, and they weren't as rich as Magic Johnson.
Segue into Bernie Sanders' quote: "The magic cure-all pill doesn't do anybody any good if they can't afford to fill the prescription."
Yeah,
wait,
there are
new guy, not new guy. I have a card for this.
Feel the burn. There's a chart that goes along with that quote from Bernie. There's a particular prescription medication that is used in keeping people alive when they're very, very ill that costs more than $56,000 a year.
One of my friends posted a picture of,
I personally know very few people that could afford that. Very, very few.
Their daughter has, pulmonary hypertension. And a month of the medicine is $16,000.
How much?
16,000 dollars a month.
A month.
1 month.
$16,000 a month.
$16,000 a month. They post a picture of the filled prescription. He's got really good insurance, though.
That is $192,000 a year.
Yeah.
I'm now, brown with two X chromosomes. I'll never get that money.
No. No. Really, no. There's unless you somehow, you know, start dating Magic Johnson or something. But there's that. So with as in another related story, as we continue to drag things out because there's other things to talk about as usual. United Healthcare has decided to pull out of the Affordable Care Act. They're no longer going to be a participating carrier.
Because, only a matter of time before they pulled out.
But see, you're just God, continuing the innuendo.
The dick jokes are strong with this one. You are learning this.
My God, you don't know where I work.
The dick jokes are strong with this one.
I work at Spencer's Gifts. It takes everything to not make dick jokes 24/7.
I work at a like, call center.
There's
and
entire shows.
When
of
my microphone is on mute, a dick joke's coming out. That's just how it goes.
Okay. Never change.
No, never change. Never change. It's so good to have the gang back together. I think that this is probably the best panel that we've ever had, and I would like to continue it. We definitely have so many things to say. Yes, it's all self-flagellating and all that. I don't think that there's anything left. Oh yes, picks. Of course, I have to pick the Scathing Atheist podcast because I played that without getting his full permission. So mea culpa, mea culpa. I'm very sorry if Noah, you did not actually want me to play that. All I can say is sorry, but I did send you a message and it did arrive. You just didn't read it. So moving right along, do we have any other picks from the Peanut Gallery?
Michael and I went and saw Crimson Peak this week.
It was amazing.
With our significant others.
It was so good.
Here's what you need to know about Crimson Peak. Three things. One, if you're not a fan of reading Victorian books where everything comes toppling down for no particular reason very quickly at the end of the book, don't watch Crimson Peak. If you like the works of Mary Shelley, watch Crimson Peak. If you like Tom Hiddleston's butt, watch Crimson Peak. If you are squeamish with looking at the inside of a grown man's head, don't watch Crimson Peak.
Wait, know that that's for...
and furthermore, I don't need your fact-checking.
I don't need your stats.
Ignoring the facts is how I'm going to become president.
That does seem to be a likely strategy.
That's fine.
But it really was. It was a beautiful movie. It was very well told. It was hilarious where it wanted to be hilarious, and it was also hilarious when you are dead inside, like Michael and I are, and dramatic things happen, and we're like, you feel things.
The drama. The wow. Drama. That's my so good.
Crimson Peak, Guillermo del Toro, same guy who did Pan's Labyrinth. Doug Jones plays the monsters. Because Guillermo del Toro is like Doug Jones's pet or something.
Hey, I recognize those spindly fingers.
that was a thing that was said in the movie theater. Yep. So that's my pick. And I don't know if it was going to be Michael's or not, but that was my pick.
No, I actually have a different pick, but I'm glad you brought that up because it was fantastic and delicious, and I loved every second of the overdramaticness. But no, I got this as a gift. And I like it. So it is a book, as you can see. You see the book?
The Secrets of the Universe.
It is an actual book with paper pages and stuff.
Secrets of the Universe and 100.
How does the interface work, Michael? Could you demonstrate for us?
It is a very intuitive touch-based interface.
What the fuck?
How quaint. Right?
It's amazing. Pages turn, and there's new things on every page. But it is
Wait,
the Secrets of the
did
Universe.
Did batteries go dead? What happens when batteries go dead?
It never needs recharging.
Almost like solar power, but different.
Right? No, it's called The Secrets of the Universe in 100 Symbols. It's by someone named Sarah Bartlett, and it is just a really fascinating examination of the iconography of all sorts of cultures throughout history. And it just makes for, if you like history, and you should, because history is fucking important. Mm. If you don't like history, your ideas are bad, and you should feel bad.
You're probably a Republican. Go
we
on.
Are, yeah. just but, we are living in history right now.
Right?
Do you know that?
History is happening as we speak.
That's right.
But it's got a lot of really cool stuff in it, and I've really enjoyed flipping through it. So
the history of symbolism is amazing.
It's super fun, and I plug it.
Very and soon you will be able to decipher the Da Vinci Code.
Right?
How dare you?
Oh, God. And it fell.
At the end, the only thing that matters is what you believe.
At the end, the only thing that matters is that Tom Hanks never stops making movies.
That's just something I believe should happen.
Right.
Never, ever.
So, David, what do you have for a pick? Anything? It's been a while since you've been here. You gotta have something.
It's been a while. I actually, it's something that's happened over the past 3 months. Shit. I now live in one of the few states that's actively seeking out and accepting refugees. So I will pick Minnesota.
Wow. I think this is the first time that we've ever had a state as a pick.
There you go. No. People are nice up here. The place is cool. I like it. Economy's booming along. Splendid. Amazing that it's not booming along elsewhere.
Now, however, the as far as the booming is concerned, so how cold is it going to be there tonight?
Oh, in full winter, it'll get to negative 40. Which, fun fact, negative 40 is where Fahrenheit and Celsius collide.
That's right. That is true.
I know that.
It's like, what's that in Celsius?
Because I work in an environment where we had to test computers to that limit. So walking inside that freezer was fun in summer. Like, we just walked outside. Man, how am I going to cool off?
Yeah.
Actually walking into the ice age.
That,
much what it was like.
I believe that negative 40 is what is referred to in the ice cream industry as a blast freezer, where you can get, you know, that hard freeze rather quickly.
Yeah. We tested devices.
Take out some melted ice cream and see what happens in the winter.
Yeah.
We had touchscreen computers that had to be able to freeze to negative 40 for an hour and turn on.
Excellent.
And function.
You know, I think I have that one right over here.
No,
not that
don't
one.
You have
that one won't do it.
Oh, it won't do it. Okay,
that one won't do it. That one's actually made. That one was made in like Korea.
Okay,
I'm gonna.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna tell you though, but like if you put me in negative 40, I wouldn't function or turn on either.
I probably wouldn't. Yeah, after what an hour, just an hour in negative 40. Yeah, I might not start back up.
No, it's all about layers.
That's true.
But it's hard to function and turn on with layers.
That whole being a biological entity thing. Yeah, it's got some drawbacks. Got some serious drawbacks.
Yeah, I got some new boots I'm going to be testing.
I bet you do. Okay, yeah, so Minnesota, Scathing Atheist, Crimson Peak, and it was. Can you read off that the title?
100 the secrets behind 100 symbols.
The Secrets of the Universe in 100 Symbols.
Ah, there. That's close. So
in
close.
100.
And the state of Minnesota.
And the state
and
of
the
Minnesota.
State of Minnesota.
We're close enough to Canada to have poutine.
Have you
poutine
had it?
Poutine is my favorite thing.
Have you had it?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I spent like 3 months working across Canada. And here's another fun fact. KFC in Canada doesn't have biscuits. They have poutine.
Really?
Porcano los dos.
Yeah. That surprised me. It's like, I'll just have a number whatever with a biscuit. We don't have biscuits. Like, wait,
what?
Zero biscuits? This is KFC, right?
Want some poutine, though? Yeah.
Wait, you have poutine? Okay.
I'll have all the
I'm
poutine.
I'm listening.
Yeah, it's like I'll have all the poutine. Thank you. Splendid. Okay. And with that, unless you have anything else, going once.
Oh, thank
going
you
twice.
To everybody in the chat room.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And all the live viewers that we had out on the YouTube.
We've got Jihad123.
What?
That must have just joined. Disposable and Explosion. Welcome to the chat room.
What's up, guys?
All right, then.
I thought KFC was owned by PepsiCo because they only have
KFC.
Pepsi.
Is owned by the same people who own Taco Bell, and I feel like it's Sunshine something at home.
Yeah, that's PepsiCo.
What did it...
Or one of their conglomerates, because they only serve Pepsi. Sorry. There is Pepsi. A chat room. There is an IRC. And I was distracted because Explosia said KFC is owned by Coca-Cola, and I don't think so. I do not think that's correct because they
let's find
Coke.
Out.
They do not serve Coke products.
If only there
you know, who does know the internet.
The internet knows.
I'm on the internet. I'm checking it now.
Well, we're right.
It's a Yum Brands
at 2 hours. Oh, Yum Brands.
So who owns Yum?
Oh, Yum yeah. Brands.
Yeah, I don't know. Well,
that's know. Why you can get a Kentucky Hut where it's KFC, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut.
A Kentucky Hut.
I have eaten at those.
A Kentucky Hut.
Combination
okay.
Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Yeah.
But also so, KFC, it's a Ken Taco Hut. So you can get your biscuits, you can get your chalupas, and you can get your breadsticks and be on your goddamn merry way.
Now they also have Long John Silver's too.
Yes.
And A&W root beer and Wing House.
Yep.
A&W root beer sucks.
I want a shopping mall comprised entirely of these junk food places. And I want $1,000. Make it so, internet.
Just a Yum Brand outlet mall of things, and they must serve poutine. That's what
Welcome
has to happen.
To the now. Yum Foods food court.
You know, I bet that I bet there is one.
How greasy can Ophelia get in 6 hours?
I bet there is one. I bet some of those travel centers along the turnpike.
At the
you
end
know,
of 6 hours, we're going to slider along this wooden path.
Nice. Okay. With that, I think that is going to wrap up the show, ladies and gentlemen. So, we'll be back next Friday about 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. In the meantime, the conversation should continue on the web. Head over to orillyradio.com. That's orillyradio.com for all the links right at the top of the page. And do watch us live and chat in the IRC like we've had so many people doing today. If you've liked what we've done here, you can help keep the lights on. Follow the Help Us link on the webpage, and that will take you over to patreon.com/Cowan, CoWenBatreon.com/Cowan. And that's me, by the way. If that is too rich for you to contribute with monetary means, I understand completely. But you can contribute to the show with topic ideas, corrections, advertising offers, unclaimed lottery tickets, hate mail, and unsolicited advice by emailing them to us at orillyradiopodcast@gmail.com. Also, leave a voicemail at 470-222-6759. We can also get texts at that message, at that service as well, and we'll read them on the air. Also, we have a subreddit. You can post on post stories and then vote them up and down. And please, whatever you do, go find us wherever you found us. They found us. I don't know how, but they found us. And leave us a glowing review on whatever platform that happens to be. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, Google+, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can also find all the show notes, of course, over at our website at orillyradio.com. Can't thank you enough for spending some time with us. Until next time, this has been O'Reilly Radio, part of the Cowan Services Network. Music for the show is produced by Kevin McLeod of IncompTech.com. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.